This is The Heat Source, the podcast where we learn everything we can about hot sauce, one bottle at a time. We are your hosts, Mike and Matt, and today we're trying the 7th Reaper from Sauce Leopard. Let's heat up. Hey guys, Matt here. Quick note before this episode, we had an audio issue, so it is a little bit quieter than our normal episode. Shouldn't be any issues hearing it, just might have to turn up the volume a little bit. Cheers. Welcome back to The Heat Source, where we learn about new sauces weekly, one bottle at a time. We are in our second week of trying brand new sauces for the new year. We tried Tennessee Hot Sauce last week. We're actually trying the Sauce Leopard, which is pretty well-known sauce brand if you watch Hot Ones, because they were on season 18 of Hot Ones, so that was last season.
Yeah,
I was trying to keep track because they just started in 2000. I didn't realize Hot Ones only started in 2015, but they're in season 19 because they just like
I was going to ask about
double up seasons.
What do they do? Okay,
yeah, I think other shows do that where there's like a spring and a fall season.
Yeah.
I just use the years as our, so our second season started because we're in 2023.
Yeah.
Our second season will be longer than the first, ideally.
Yeah. This would be an easy Google, and Courtney and I were talking about this yesterday. You're talking about show seasons, and we were sitting at Vitaly's yesterday, and some, like, okay-looking show popped up. We were watching football there, and I forget what show it was, but just like a primetime NBC show.
Okay.
How do those make money? Is it just advertisements?
I have no idea.
It's not like you pay tickets to, you don't, it's not like the movie theater. You don't go pay tickets.
Yeah.
To
I mean, I guess it's Sheldon. It's advertisement based on viewership. And so that's why, like, I think that's why NBC and those, I always pick on Fox because it canceled some of my favorite shows, including Firefly.
It's not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor. Oh man. If that was it, I'd be set. If I could just have Nathan Fillion reading an intro saying sponsored by Firefly. Not sponsored by Fox, but I know that there a lot of those networks are quick to pull where it's like, hey, that did pretty good. It's like not good enough because they're looking at not just their numbers, but how it compares to the other time slots of the other channels, which just is frustrating. NBC's just as bad. The show Community is another one of my favorites, and they constantly were battling where it's like people love us. Like social media is talking about us, but your viewership, you're putting us against Big Bang Theory, and you're upset that we're not number one.
Right.
Like,
gosh, there needs to be a streaming service that's called, like, the Boneyard.
Like, don't be upset that Jim Kelly keeps getting the Bills to the Super Bowl and losing. You've been to the Super Bowl, like, 6 times out of 10 years.
Right.
Like, come on.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's my football reference, because I just watched a bunch of football this weekend. Some really good games.
Who won the Bills-Dolphins game?
Bills barely. Really? Against a rookie third-string quarterback for the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Like, by 3 points. Yeah.
Okay, we watched till halftime.
And also, the Jacksonville Jaguars came back from a ridiculous...
They were down 27. They won, like, 31-30.
Yeah, did you see what the payout, if you... I think it was, like, $10 or $100, if you bet at that point that the Jags were going to win straight up, you would have won, like, $1.8 million.
Did anyone do it?
I don't know. I'm sure somebody did. I'm sure somebody did. Somebody that has a problem.
That's crazy. But no, we need to start a streaming service called the Boneyard or something, where it's like you take all these like moderately successful shows that were canceled because they didn't quite meet primetime slots.
That would actually be a really fun thing for me if I had time to watch some of those shows. But there is a lot. There's a wealth.
Oh yeah.
I know. I'm sure there's a podcast that does that. When you first said we should do a podcast called the Boneyard, I'm like, so it's about ribs. Like, I'm down for, like, it's about anything. Considering last week I asked what's a good meatless dinner dish that you were ashamed that I asked, switching gears completely and being like, let's do something where every episode is something that has a bone either in it or previously was in it.
Yeah. So somehow today I found dinosaur facts that relate to this hot sauce.
Of course. So. I wouldn't doubt that. Also, the funny thing I was thinking of when I was telling everybody about how, like, yeah, I was asking about a meatless dish and people were giving me crap. The funny thing is a lot of the hot sauces, at least a few of them recently, you've been like, this is just go good with, like, grilled vegetables. Just toss them in grilled vegetables. Yeah. And I'm like, I guess it has to be a side, though.
Right.
But no. So we're doing the Sauce Leopard, 7th Reaper, which is the fifth sauce from season 18. So it's that middle, right after Los Calientes, which I feel like that's usually fifth, mm-hmm. but they've shifted that a little bit. Have you had any of the Hot Ones brand hot sauces?
I have not.
I've not had the Los Calientes. I've had their starter sauce.
The classic.
Mm-hmm. That one's very good. And I've had the last dab. I had about an inch of it. And then I brought up to Canada fishing and somebody broke the cap mm-hmm. and then thought, oh, we'll just like seal it up with plastic wrap and then bring it back. And it did not.
Yeah.
Did not do well.
That's funny.
But.
No, I've never tried anything. I need to. I'm a fan of the show. Mm-hmm. I don't catch every episode. I usually kind of cherry pick people that I know.
But I used to watch it more religiously, and now it is more situational. Yeah. I did come up with a fun idea for when we try a sauce that was on Hot Ones, because both of us are kind of Swiss cheese on pop culture. I feel like there's some things we're really in the know of, and some things
usually
that we're
know
like
TV shows that I've never heard of in my life.
TV shows more so for good. Me, but then like yeah, there's it goes both ways though, because I just don't like some stuff. It's like you were aware of it when I was just not. Pay attention mm-hmm. to pop culture.
Oh, sorry, hold on. The Burbs got added to Netflix yesterday.
Oh, did it?
Yes. If you've never seen The Burbs, that is such a classic Tom Hanks comedy from, what is it, like the 90s, early 90s?
Either that or late 80s. Yeah. Gosh, it's that is a great one. He had some really good, like, bizarre but amazing movies back then, because that and Joe vs. Volcano.
Never heard of it.
That's a really good one. Meg Ryan, Tom Hanks. Fantastic movie. It's very bizarre. It's from this it was the art design was from the same person that did the art design for Beetlejuice. Mm-hmm. It's not a Tim Burton movie, but it is by the same art designer. And it is fun. It's great. But no, The Burbs, not a sponsor. Tom Hanks, longtime fan of the podcast, probably.
It is Laura Dern's dad, also. Dr. Elliot Sadler.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So little
Bruce
Jurassic
Dern.
Park, yeah, for Jurassic Park connection.
But one thing I want to do when we have someone from Hot Ones, I'm going to read off who was on this season. Mm-hmm. And you let me know if you're aware of them or not.
Okay.
I feel like you're going to do pretty well on this one. Some earlier seasons, I don't even know. But, all right, so Post Malone.
Yep.
All right. Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah, 11.
Yep. Queen Latifah.
Oh, yeah.
Classic. Kevin Bacon.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Your favorite, Khloe Kardashian.
Oh, God. She actually did really well.
She did really well on the show. She was very nice.
Yeah, she was negative notches in my book before, but she bumped up a plus one. It still puts her in the negatives, but.
Also, somebody commented where it's like, have you seen, like, they showed a picture of her pantry and how organized it is. I'm like, that's amazing. I'm like, how much help did you have with that? But also, she apparently does have a really keen eye for design.
That's so funny.
Andrew Callahan.
Not off the top of my head.
No, I didn't either. He is a YouTuber. And then he started Channel 5 News on YouTube, which is an interview thing. I was not aware. Tessa Thompson.
Nope.
You would probably know if you saw her. She's Valkyrie in the Thor movies. She is Creed's love interest in the boxing movies. She is. She's amazing.
I don't think I've seen a superhero movie.
Well, Creed's not a superhero. It might as well be.
Well, you were just saying.
Yeah, the Thor movies.
Yeah, never seen.
All right. Gabriel Iglesias.
Oh, yeah.
Fluffy. Yeah. Fluffy. Daniel Kaluuya. Kaluuya? Kaluuya.
Nope.
He was the main actor in Get Out.
Never seen him.
He was also in Black Panther. But again, no superhero movies. Another one of your favorites, Bear Grylls.
He is the biggest fraud on planet Earth.
Okay, we're not going to get into that because
he's not a sponsor today. You need to tag him in this, though.
I'm not tagging him in that.
I went back because I remember... Les Stroud.
Why did I know this was going
to
start?
I'm sorry. You're going to have to cut this out. Pause it, Matt. No. Les Stroud is the
definitely
original.
Definitely pause right now.
Yeah. He's the OG. Les Stroud. He did everything mm-hmm. for real. He's actually out there by himself self-filming. And then growing up, I was a huge Bear Grylls fan. I'm like, man, this is awesome. And this was like when reality TV was becoming
I was too.
Just,
it, I watched
it
a lot of
his
content.
Ramping up. Yeah. I went back. This is probably a year ago. Because then there was a whole stink of like, oh, he just stays in a hotel and he does stuff out back. Like he was in like Switzerland or something, quote unquote, stuck in the Alps. And he was just hanging out on like the hotel property or something.
Sure.
Went back, watched the first episode. He's pulling. And I know my bugs. I know my worms. He's pulling like these worms that you would not find in a dead carcass of a deer. It's the first episode.
Yeah.
And you can tell they went to the gas station, bought a container of these worms, literally dropped them into this carcass that they found, and he's picking them out, like eating them. I'm like, okay, those eat wood, not decomposing deer.
Okay.
Like,
Ken,
he's a fraud.
Can we appreciate that his show, though, did bring attention and interest to more outdoor activity?
100%.
Okay.
He's still sponsored by Gerber.
Yeah.
So Gerber's a massive knife company. One of the biggest.
So I enjoyed watching him when you know, it first started. I didn't go as in depth on how much of a quote unquote fraud, but okay, let's move on.
I'm sorry.
Mark Rober.
Oh yeah. I love Mark.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right. We're back
He's
on track.
Good stuff.
Your favorite of the whole season, Lizzo.
Yep. Yeah.
And Neil Patrick Harris.
He is the blonde guy, right? How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Barney Stinson from How I Met Your Mother, Doogie Howser from back in the day.
I don't know if you can tell.
He is one of the best parts of the Harold and Kumar series of films.
I didn't know he was in there.
He plays himself in an exaggerated, overly toxic masculine way that is phenomenal, especially now that you see him in like on Broadway and doing all these other things. And it's like, that was the best caricature of an alternate universe, Neil Patrick Harris.
So you can tell I don't watch a lot of.
I know.
Not a big fan of reality TV or just TV shows in general.
Neil Patrick Harris is just a actor. He doesn't do reality.
Didn't he do mostly TV? I'm sorry, not reality.
But like sitcoms?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. How I Met Your Mother was one that I loved, it fizzled at the end. The first two or three seasons are gold. Anyway, so I have a couple quotes of what they said about this sauce, and then we'll open up this sauce and start getting into it. Neil Patrick Harris, this is the most peculiar, and don't be dissuaded by this. He said, this is more of like a Texas smokehouse kind of sauce, like beans in a can over a fireplace. And I think part of that is the sauce that a baked bean comes in, a tomato-based sauce with different like seasonings. Yeah. I think that's what he was talking about. So don't be dissuaded because you hate beans.
No, I understand that. And I was not expecting beans to be in here.
Kevin Bacon. I know. I just didn't want you to be like, is this going to be like beans without
it's funny. Now that you mention this, I just told you I didn't watch. Like, I kind of cherry pick. I think I watched almost everyone on this season.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Except for a few in there. But
I'd like to watch the Bear Grylls one to see what they talk about. I did not watch that one yet.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
I skipped.
Sorry to go back to that. Kevin Bacon said the little guy on a horse on the bottle is looking like he's about to smack you in the head. It does have a cowboy reaper. So it's a skeleton ran with a whip that has. It looks like a sickle on the, it might be the pepper on the, that's the Reaper pepper on the end of the rope. Gabriel Iglesias said, this has a little magic on it, if that's what you want to call it, when he tried it. Post Malone, this is a funny one because Post Malone was like, it smells like death. And then he took a bite and he's like, this tastes delicious. So it's like, smells like death. So I'm curious about the smell. That might be, when you mix it with chicken, that mixes up the, and I don't know, I don't feel like hardly any of them eat just traditional chicken wings anymore. A lot of them
Is it the vegan wings?
So they do vegan wings. Some of them do like cauliflower wings. Some of them do. Rachel Ray, I always go back to her. She just has spoonfuls of it.
I didn't watch that one.
She just has spoonfuls and she's just like.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about like our tasting spoons from Mammoth. I'm talking about like whole teaspoon or tablespoon.
Yeah. Did you watch the Kevin Bacon one?
No.
That's a good one. I was surprised at his. Musical background. I didn't know that he was in a band.
Huge musical background.
I didn't.
Did you watch?
I'm the worst pop culture.
He was in the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special this year. That's pretty. I don't know if you have Disney Plus yet. You will once your kid's born.
I have Disney Plus.
Okay, I was gonna say. That's a good one. But if you don't watch Guardians of the Galaxy, then you are gonna be like,
I saw it one time.
Okay.
I don't remember much of it.
Did you see the second one? Probably not.
Part of it.
The last one, Daniel Kaluuya said his ears started sweating. I think that might be the sauce is ramping up, but he was like, my ears are sweating. Why are my ears sweating?
That's hilarious.
All right, so we're going to open this one up. This one on the bottle, it says, from the charred depths of hell, a crack from the flavor whip rings out across the plains. The Seventh Reaper, inspired by an Argentine red chimichurri sauce, is a celebratory union between Sauce Leopard and Seven. This frighteningly delicious sauce is ideal on a scorched carcass fresh off the grill. That's a great way to say it.
Scorched carcass.
But also prime on sandwiches, tacos, shrimp, eggs, or dare we say in a Bloody Mary. That would actually be really good.
That'd be good.
All right. So let me.
You had asked about the vegetable thing. I'm pretty sure I suggested to you a tomahawk steak. when you said there's any good vegetarian recipes out there.
So here's the thing. Angela and I are trying to eat healthier. This is just the, they won the 2022 Golden Chili Award. So that's a good little.
Did you see the new government funded food pyramid?
No.
Lucky Charms are towards the top as far as healthier things to eat. Not towards the top. So my kids paid them off.
That's what you're
saying. I think Lucky Charms are like top 50% for sure. But it's above like eggs, steak.
That's insane.
Chicken.
I'm going to open this up. Started out well, but then it fizzled. It's the Simon Cowell Deep V. It didn't.
It's a real deep V. Did that go all the way to the end?
Yeah, it's right. We got like a half centimeter attached still. But no, I did not see the pyramid. That's a bummer.
It's pretty frustrating. There's a lot of things on there. It's like, no one should be eating that. I think frosted Wheaties were like number two.
Jeez. So he puts the heat level on this kind of in the three quarters. He doesn't have a number, but it has a, like a, almost like a thermometer from 0 to 10. It looks like about three quarters up. Some of the main ingredients, vinegar, tomato, grapeseed oil, jalapeno, red wine vinegar, vegetable stock, tomato paste, bell pepper, honey, parsley, garlic, white onion, green onion, lemon juice, cilantro, Reaper's salt, oregano spices. Oregano and spices.
Good.
I love oregano.
That's the Dave Ramsey, or not Ooh. Dave Ramsey, Gordon Ramsay way of saying
that is
oregano.
A delicious smelling sauce. Like, I'm getting a lot of the tomato. Tomato and the garlic and the onion.
I feel like I'm getting the grapeseed.
Okay. I'm not as attuned to the grapeseed oil. I've only really used it once in the past. But this is one where sometimes with a Reaper sauce, you smell the Reaper. You're like, oh, this is intense. This one, not so much, which is interesting because some of those Reaper sauces, it has the Reaper in it, but it doesn't quite. They're all varying in heat because of how much you use and also the intensity in which you use it, cooking it down, whatnot. Has a nice dark red color, almost like a tomato sauce that's just been kind of cooked down a little bit. That's a nice glob of sauce you got there. All right, let's give this a try. Oh yeah,
it's really good.
It's a cross between like a hot sauce and a. Time for me to wake up.
Good morning.
It's a cross between. We talked about that one red wine vinegar sauce from Galactic Hobo, and it's like, well, we're getting like Italian notes. I would put this on Italian food. Like, first thing off the top of my head, I'm like,
I get the
drizzle this across like a loaf of garlic bread. You make the garlic bread up, put the cheese on top, and you drizzle this over top.
Mm-hmm.
That would be so good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's really good.
So they talked about in the label how it was a combination between them and Seven. Seven is a design company from a friend of Sean Goodwin, who's the founder. He created this at the request of his friend Connor Locke for their 7th anniversary of his design company called Seven. So it was supposed to be a limited release sauce. And his friend pitched the idea of a red chimichurri because he has an Argentinian background.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sean was like, well, let's add Reapers. So it's like, hey, let's do like a traditional red chimichurri, but a hot sauce take. It's like, great, Reapers. And it's like, came in with a flamethrower.
Okay, yeah.
Which the heat, it's there. Like, it's one that I can't recommend to the faint of heart of my family that don't do heat.
No.
But it's not killing me.
No.
I've had a lot of Reaper sauces that have hurt more. So.
Like a 3-, 2+.
Yeah. So, like, because, like, with.
It's a comfortable heat.
Well, because with our heat scale, we have, you know, the one that's just, it's there, there's a presence. Two is. It's lingering. It's longer lasting. 3 is where you're starting to react a little bit. And you might have like nose running, eyes watering, ears sweating, apparently to Daniel. And then 4 is good pain. 5 is bad pain. I think if we keep having more of it, which I'm going to, because it is one that I'm not afraid to, it is a thicker sauce. Consistency is.
Go good on wings. Someone should put this on wings.
Anyway, so 5th sauce on hot ones.
Anyway.
On hot ones, the wing show. Let me have some more of this. So it's not completely similar to this, but it has been the same vein as El Perro Fortunato, where it's like a darker, richer sauce. So let me get into a little bit about our sauce maker here. So again, Sean Goodwin is the founder, founded Sauce Leopard. Just, I'll say it at the end of the show too. Sauce Leopard on Instagram, sauceleopard.com on their website. But he was raised in New Jersey. He moved over to Boulder, Colorado to go to school. His full name, I found this interesting. It was on Talking Heat. His full name is Sean Patrick Goodwin. It's like a good Irish name, but he has an Irish-Italian heritage in his upbringing, which the Italian side, I get that in here just because with that tomato and that red wine vinegar, that just, I just want to put this on spaghetti and see what, how it goes.
That'd be good. Put on like a penne vodka pasta sauce.
Yeah. Need a minute. It's morning. I haven't had breakfast yet. I already worked out. I'm going to be hungry. This is going to be interesting. So he grew up with a big family, lots of strong female cooks in his household. So that kind of helped develop his interest and passion into cooking. He moved to Colorado to go to school at CU Boulder for marketing. But afterwards, he moved over to Denver just because Denver was a livelier scene. He's actually a musician and a sauce maker. Mm-hmm. He said he's in two bands. I know he's in one band for sure that I saw online. I didn't see what the other band was, but I think some of it is maybe he's not active with both all the time. But he started making sauce at a hobby level back in like 2018, just making it for friends, just as something kind of a side hobby to do. He opened up a web store in 2019 just because it was getting popular, but he even admits it would not have been probably what it is today if not for the magic of 2020, which is COVID.
Yeah.
And I joke, but I mean, it's COVID really did spur on so many sauce makers, whether it be someone that had to do it out of necessity because they had no other avenue, someone who had to do it as like, I needed that nudge and COVID did it, which this was one where he was doing, you know, service work. He was bartending. He was in the music industry as he was part of a doom metal band, the Munsons, which he still is, where he does vocals and guitar. He also did drums. He grew up playing piano, so like heavy musical background. But he also was doing like working. He had a promotion company that was doing a different like festivals and events. Mm-hmm. But he was trying, kind of getting out of that. Didn't really want to be bartending. Was looking at other things, and this kind of pushed him in that way where it's like, let me take the stimulus check, use that to get all the licensing done, you know, get all the certifications.
I forgot about stimulus checks.
Yeah, remember those?
That's crazy. What a wild time.
But I did find this interesting. The events, there were two events that I saw listed in an article about him. He had one called Decemberger, which is a heavy metal fest crossed with a burger competition. I feel like the key to a festival is crossover.
Yeah.
Like, it can't just be one thing. You got to get two, not necessarily opposite, but two different groups.
Oh, yeah.
And be like, hey, we're going to.
That's so funny.
But then Electric Funeral Fest, which was a metal block party. So he had those two that he had
Electric
run.
Electric Funeral?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So, but yeah, so COVID, you know, because the bartending job, he got laid off from that. He stepped away from the promotional company, which festivals during COVID wasn't really happening at all. And then in July of 2020, he became fully licensed.
Okay.
So he, you know, slowly built up these sauces. This sauce, the Seventh Reaper, not only is it seven because of the, it was the seventh anniversary of the company Seven, it was also his seventh sauce that he made. So,
okay,
just nice. All kind of worked out.
Yeah. Well, it's a really good one.
But yeah, it was, I mean, yeah, all of his sauces, I've seen a couple more. We have two more. These were sauces we got from the Hurricane Relief raffle. So we have Bird Blood, which I know is like a cranberry sauce, a sweeter sauce. And then there is, pardon my language, the Ass Casher, which is a sriracha hot sauce, which does look pretty good as well. His whole...
The artwork on there. That's pretty magical for that that casher.
Yeah. No, I know that a lot of his artwork, he designs himself. He said he was originally doing a lot of like hand drawing and stuff. There's a couple of them that he had designed by, there was one that they collaborated with a band. I think the Ass Casher, they collaborated with a band.
Yeah.
And then someone in their band helped design that bottle. So that is a fun thing where some companies have it where this is the bottle label. We change this little bit for each different flavor. Like Roddy from Faya, here's the main, more or less the main style, other than Mama Wanna, it's this style, change the color, here's what it is.
Right.
Which works 100%, because then there's that consistency of, that's a Faya bottle. This is more, someone compared it to album covers. It's like, hey, different album covers for every different sauce.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. And, I mean, I like the creativity of how they come up with the different ones. The bird blood is a cool looking one as well. But
I want to know, this is like the outdoorsman in me. I want to know why he chose bird blood with that kind of burgundy color to it.
I think part of the theme was with cranberry Thanksgiving going into like.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that was what he had mentioned.
Just because like when you, like especially ducks, they have more of a burgundy colored blood.
But I want to know why you weren't more accurate to the bird.
Yeah, it's oddly accurate. Yeah. I'm with it. Totally with it.
It's like, yeah, a guy was talking to me about the right type of blood color, and he's on a list now. Also, I forgot to mention this at the beginning. I posted something yesterday. So this episode will be airing this Wednesday, so in like 3 days. But on Sunday, I went to a family function, and I brought some hot sauce. I made a jalapeno popper mac and cheese, which there is no, at least when I first did a search, there wasn't like a, sometimes you search a thing and there's like 17 recipes for it. Mm-hmm. You'd look jalapeno popper dip, a bunch of recipes for it. Not a lot of jalapeno popper mac and cheese.
Yeah.
So I took the dip recipe and then made some of the elements more sauce. Like instead of they have like a cup of mayonnaise, I was using some cream and some sour cream and like some, you know, milk and stuff, where it's like, all right, let's make it a little bit more of a liquidy sauce. Did a Cheez-It Parmesan jalapeno crust on top. It was good. So it's the worst, health-wise, it's the worst one I've ever made.
The thought of you working out this morning popped into my head, and you're describing this to me. I'm like, this is a...
I had one helping zero of it, and then I didn't have any more. But it was, my cousin asked me to make the least healthy thing I could. And I was like, all right, let me think about it. So I did that, a lot of cream cheese. It was very good. Not a lot of heat, because even though I used fresh jalapenos and I cooked them down in garlic and bacon fat, there wasn't any seeds or the internal.
Yeah.
Was it the white?
The membrane.
Yeah. There wasn't that in there, because my family on that side, not a lot of them do heat. Even when I came in there with it, one of mine was like, oh, yeah, I don't do spice. Oh,
I could already smell it.
And there was, like, he had olives that he brought in a relish tray that were stuffed with jalapenos, but it was, like, pickled, and it wasn't super hot. They were very good. Mm-hmm. My one aunt, I told you, had one of the famous Dave's pickles.
Yeah.
And you would have thought that she had a, like, not even this, but, like, a raw Reaper.
We gotta have her on.
We'd have to trick her, and, like, she would just be screaming the whole time.
We do a sugary ketchup podcast. Don't mind the artwork on the bottle.
Yeah.
I just need you to try this.
We do have ketchup. We have a couple of spicy ketchups that have been sent to us.
Yeah.
From the raffle specifically. So I need to shake this up more. I want some more of this. But no, so I did give my cousin some stinky sauce, because he had tried some at my daughter's birthday, and he enjoyed it. I wasn't thinking I gave him some agave jalapeno. I should have brought him some of the mango habanero. Also, I have an extra bottle of El Perro Afortunado that I'm like, I could have given him that, but also I could just put that on a wet burrito and just save
it. Just save it.
Yeah. So I'm going to have another spoonful of this. The aroma was really good. I'm getting a lot of the tomato.
Yeah.
But then like that heat comes in at the back end.
I do like that that vinegar smell in there too.
Mm-hmm. And the use of like regular vinegar and the red or white vinegar and the red wine vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
I think this has less of a red wine vinegar taste than the Galactic Hobo. It has more ingredients. It has more elements to it. But I think also using both cuts down a little bit on that strong red wine taste that we got with Galactic Hobo.
Yep.
Both great sauces. Both, I mean, any Italian food, you put this on pizza, garlic bread, a calzone, you put it on spaghetti. I'm trying to think of what else I would put it on. Chicken parm.
Oh, yeah.
Put that on a nice... I mean...
Just meatballs.
Yeah. Oh, man. Just make a giant meatball, smother it over the top.
Yeah. At what point... What's the size at what point a meatball becomes meatloaf?
There's... I think it's shape. I think it's shape based only.
Is that all it is?
I think it's shape based only because loaf and ball, those are two different shapes. But this is what I expected the podcast to be about. But there is a Italian place. It's one of the Gilmore Collection places downtown somewhere. They make a spaghetti and meatball. And it is a softball.
And meatball?
Yeah.
Not balls?
Nope. It is a softball.
That's awesome.
On a bed of spaghetti. I hope they still do it that way. I mean, maybe with COVID now, it's like you get three tiny meatballs instead of one giant one. But I mean, I'm okay with that because you cut it down. It's, you know, I don't know if there's been an event when it's a big gathering with Angel's family, you know, largely Italian family, that I don't see two different types of pasta, meatballs, you know, the whole, man, there's a lot of good Italian food on that side of the family that I would. They make a really good breaded chicken, like a breaded Italian chicken. They even have this like really good breadcrumb broccoli that they make. Put that on there.
Yeah. Just pizza.
Yeah. Yeah. This is where like when my kids get cheese pizza and I'm like, oh, this is pretty boring. That would make it a little less boring.
So I was always, I spent the first, 29 years of my life, like pretty anti cheese pizza.
Yeah.
Like, why would you not want meat on there?
That's fair. I mean, it's
like, how boring is that? I always thought that kid was just like the boring.
If you're doing just one cheese, like, hey, it's a mozzarella tomato sauce pizza.
Yeah.
Now, if you're doing like some really high end cheeses and a couple, like some Parmesan and some, you know, sometimes they drizzle the olive oil, which is extra, but like, but if they do some of that stuff, I'd be.
Yeah, I was just like, I was intentionally going out of my way to avoid cheese pizza. With Courtney being pregnant, she, like, that's just been like very mild to her. Like, oh, I could eat, you know, a slice of cheese pizza or something right now when nothing else really sounded good. Pretty darn good.
Yeah.
I kind of regret all the years of me avoiding the cheese pizzas.
Well, and I don't want to keep using the same phrase, but as this kid gets older, you'll appreciate a leftover cheese pizza. What I started doing is I'll order food for my kids and then I'll say, you know what? You guys get that. I'm not going to get anything. And then I get food on the back end.
Yeah.
You know, but whatever's left. Right. You know, I'm not like eating stuff they've chewed up, but it's like, oh, I got a small personal pan pizza for the kids. I get an extra slice of cheese pizza.
Yeah.
So that's one of my methods of my cheat meals is just leftover unhealthy food for them while I have my salad.
It's great.
But this, all right. So we have our fun facts that we want to do. I love this sauce.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of how I can incorporate it into my food today. I was going to do a burrito bowl today.
You could easily do a burrito.
Could do it with this.
What direction did you go with your facts?
Chimichurri.
Okay, I went Argentina.
Yeah, so this is based off of a red chimichurri sauce, which I've only done a green chimichurri. And I don't know, I think this was before we started recording. Chimichurri is something that I have vastly underutilized growing up. I just started I made a chimichurri like last year that I then was just like making chimichurri to have on stock. And it's a great topper. It's a way to where if I'm like, let's do steak. I don't want to do a whole bunch of unhealthy elements, but I want flavor. It is just better than any condiment that you're going to do.
That's what I always see. I see a lot of steak videos with people putting
steak. I've seen some like roasted like zucchini. Throw some zucchini with that. It's a classic. It's just got classic elements. It's not difficult to like put together because I'll pull up the specific ingredients just so I don't mess it up here. But it literally is parsley, vinegar, garlic, olive oil, chili flakes. At the base, that's all you really need. Now they do talk about that this is also can be used as a marinade, but when you look at the articles that are written about it, they're like, it's a sauce.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay, you can marinate with it, but like, marinades have chimichurri elements in them. Chimichurri is not a marinade.
Yeah.
That's the way that they got very particular in an article or two that I read. But you can go ahead with your Argentinian facts, and then I will bring up mine.
I have a lot.
Cool.
Argentina.
We have some time. We have some time because we've just been like, this is a great sauce. We'll put it on everything.
Argentina is a wealth of facts. Some that are like really cool dinosaur stuff. We've got some like off the wall facts about the Pope, which is just like that. It just sounds made up.
Again, did not expect the episode to go there.
Yeah, we have some weird government restrictions there. Nothing bad, but just weird.
I like, can't wait to see your review of this hot sauce. But like, I know we got a lot of stuff on the Pope.
Okay, I got it. Yeah, I'll do that one to
please,
start with.
Please do the Pope fact.
Okay. Pope Francis used to work as a nightclub bouncer in Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Okay. Let me wrap my head around that one.
I read that one twice, so I'm like, no kidding.
I don't know why, but I immediately went to, like, even though this is not religious and this is not in any way, I went to Gandalf, you shall not pass scene. And I'm just like, he wasn't probably wearing a robe at the time. He was younger.
Yeah.
But it.
That's so fun.
Also, what a weird thing where someone like is sitting there in their old age and they're sitting there on the TV, they're watching the TV and they're like, oh, Pope Francis is our Pope. He kicked me out of a bar.
Yeah, I stole my fake ID.
Yeah.
I read that. And
I said so many nasty things about the Pope because it ruined my night when I was in Argentina.
One guy ruined my night.
I'll never forget his face. Like, and now he's blessing me and my family.
I could not stop laughing when I read that one. I'm like, no kidding.
That's a weird thing to think about.
So I think if we're doing a fact off, I think that's my fact.
But that is a fun one.
Yeah. Some of the other ones that I thought were really interesting. Government officials have banned parents from naming their children Messi in the football star's hometown.
Because there can only be one, like a Highlander?
I think they were just worried about market saturation on the name, and it would just be hard to keep tabs on people.
It'd be funny because they'd be like, I just want to get a jersey with my name on it. They're like, you can't because you have to pay $120 for a Messi jersey. They're like, but that's my name. It's like, no, it's his name. Today. It's his name. You're just borrowing it.
Yeah. So that you can't even name your kid that. That's pretty awesome. No overreach there.
I'm really should have thought about this, but having this much of a Reaper sauce, because I'm going to have more, having this much of a Reaper sauce and an empty stomach in the morning is going to be a fun time for me.
Right. Yeah.
The office will be you won't see me in my office very often.
No. Should have brought you a straw. You're going. I mean, I had 4 or 5 spoonfuls.
I really like it.
No, it's.
Really I'm a big fan of the tomato based sauces. I know I've seen different people review where they're not as much. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can be used as more filler than flavor, but this is using it in a flavorful way.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is probably the most of a Reaper sauce that I've had.
Yeah. Oh, you're
going for that. I do like the Reaper sauce by Mammoth. That reminded me of that Bronco Berry sauce. That one, I've had it quite a bit. That one's very good. Mm-hmm. This one is totally different. Flavor elements, but is amazing.
Yeah. Let's see what else. The largest known dinosaur ever was found in Argentina.
What kind of dinosaur?
It is the Titanosaurus, which is a sauropod.
Okay. Yep. I am familiar with the Titanosaurus. I didn't know. Awesome. I always, there's so many different names where it's like Titanosaurus, obviously the biggest, but then someone's going to be like, what about the Gargantuan? It's like, okay, that sounds big too. Right. Not a real dinosaur, I'm aware. That was a made-up name. Mason would be slapping me right now. He'd be like, Dad.
Yeah, I just heard him get out of bed. He sounds mad.
Yeah, he's going to punch through the ceiling.
And Argentina is home to the highest and lowest points in the Southern Hemisphere.
In the entire Southern Hemisphere, okay.
Yeah.
That's so pretty impressive.
That's
crazy that it's that drastic. I always think of, when I think of like, the highest and lowest points. I think you mentioned it to me before, and I've seen it on different reels where Neil deGrasse Tyson talks about how if you shrunk down the Earth, it'd be smoother than like the smoothest cue ball.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the height, like the highest height and the lowest depth,
it's 11 miles.
Yeah. It's only 11 miles. And if you shrink that down drastically, it's like.
That's like slick smooth.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a thing. It was the.
But it is weird that that country contains both in. Like the whole half of a hemisphere.
Yeah, that was pretty surprising to me. What was I going to say? Oh, we were just talking about the smoothness of Earth when you shrunk it down.
Yeah.
So the smoothest object humans have ever made, and this is from like a 2004 Guinness World Record book. Do you remember how popular those were?
Yeah.
The big giant hardcovers.
Oh, I always went to the guys on the scooters, on the Amigos.
The big guys?
Yeah. I always went to them.
That's funny.
Them and the fingernail one, even though it was disgusting.
Oh, man, I could not look at that one.
That one was... It reminded me of Big Trouble in Little China, the old guy. You ever see that
movie?
Never
seen it, no.
That is a classic. That is a classic John Carpenter, Kurt Russell vehicle.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
Never even heard of it.
It's campy, but his character, I'm surprised they never did more with that character in film. They might have done books or comics or whatever, but that's a good one.
That's hilarious.
Everyone go watch. We'll add it to the movie. I got to add like a movie playlist or a show playlist on like, yeah, we'll build a website and be like,
keep tabs.
Here's the movies that we've said you've got to see.
Yeah.
And then people could be like, hey, we agree with most of them, except for that one. Like there's going to be one that's going to be a dud.
Highest point, 7,000 meters. Lowest point, 105 meters below sea level.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is the seventh lowest point on Earth.
Seventh lowest on Earth?
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know. I thought that was crazy. It's like, I Googled facts about Argentina, and it was, nothing was duplicated. There's a million things out there.
Are we talking seventh lowest point on Earth? Because I'm assuming the lowest is just like the Mariana Trench. Or are we talking about like above water?
Above water.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't think anyone knows how deep the deepest part of the ocean is. Because it's so unknown, right?
Isn't it the Marianas Trench?
I know it is, but I don't know.
You know what's scary about that is you think it would be like out in the middle. The Marianas Trench is like right next to shore, which is terrifying. It's right where, I believe it's right where a continental plate and an oceanic plate.
Just so you know, want to know, the deepest point on land is in the East Antarctica, the Denman Glacier. It's about 3.5 kilometers below sea level. However, at this depth, there is no ocean water present here, but flowing ice. We're learning so much today.
I did. Oh, actually, since you brought it up, Antarctica, Argentina sent a seven month pregnant woman down to Antarctica.
What'd she do?
They wanted to claim something, and they sent her down to Antarctica. She gave birth in Antarctica. I don't know. I can't talk this morning. She gave birth in Antarctica.
I got the sweats when I first saw Antarctica because I'm like, I'm going to mess this up.
No. So, yeah, Argentina has the first person born in Antarctica.
Did they have to stay?
I don't know. I think that was their claim, though, was like,
you did,
hey,
it.
We had someone born here, back. So we own it.
Initially, I was just like, what a punishment. Like, hey, you're going to go down to Antarctica. Like, what did she do?
Dude, I would love that. That would be a dream of mine.
You don't have to carry the child.
Yeah.
if you were the child, you'd be like, awesome. I'm going to tell everybody I know it's going to be on my business cards. Like, you would just have an Instagram that just says, like, the firstborn of Antarctica.
Yeah.
Like, the son of Antarctica. That would be great.
The Duke of Antarctica.
The Duke of Antarctica. Much like the Duke of Taos, it's a very prominent role.
I was talking to someone the other day, and I'm not going to say it on air.
All right. Cool. So I went pretty heavy with mine, but I also have one part that I can go into. And if we want to hear about more, we can continue. But I went into the origins of chimichurri, the sauce. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you realize this, but much like a few other things that I've looked into the origins of, it is shrouded in mystery and argued against what the origin is, which I love because then it's like, give me all your crazy theories. Any of them can be real.
Right.
I'm going to start making up my own theories for origins of stuff. If there's not an established one, I'm going to be like, yeah, Fritos were just corn that got left out in the sun.
Yeah. I was going to say, I hope you're going to tell me that Pope Francis would get bored as a bouncer, and he was in the back making the secret sauce for this nightclub.
I don't think any religion was brought into this one. But anyway. All right. So the most popular theory, and all of them have some really fun, like, I see what they did there. But the most popular theory was there was a 19th century Irish immigrant named James or Jimmy McCurry, who, longing for Worcestershire sauce, a popular condiment back in the UK and Ireland, that I don't know why I know what Worcestershire is, but in the article it says made of vinegar, molasses, garlic, anchovies, and other ingredients, which I watched how they make Worcestershire sauce before.
It's terrifying.
So I've seen a few things. Sorry for this tangent inside a tangent. I've seen a few things where I'm like, I will never, like, I didn't have soy sauce for a year after I saw how they make it. It's disgusting. Actually, I didn't even see it. I read it. I read how they made it. I was like, gross. And now I have soy sauce.
Yeah.
Just fine. Although the mushroom sauce worked well instead of soy sauce the other day.
Did it?
Yeah.
Nice.
But this had no effect on me when I literally watched the video on how they made Worcestershire sauce. And I'm like, it's phenomenal.
Yeah. Let's rot things until they get all juicy and gross. We'll strain it, and then we'll just throw it in a bottle.
And I always wonder why they have vegan Worcestershire sauce. I'm like, I get it. But anyway, So longing for that sauce, he decided to create another flavorsome condiment with local ingredients there in Argentina. So supposedly the sauce took his name, Jimmy McCurry, which became chimichurri with the Argentinian pronunciation.
That's awesome. That which sounds like...
Jimmy McCurry. Chimichurri.
Yeah. That sounds like if Disney were to do a movie on...
Yeah.
You know, chimichurri sauce. That's how they would...
Good old Jimmy McCurry.
Yeah.
Jimmy McCurry is either a Disney character or it's a very offensive term for somebody. It's like, you can't call him that. Either way. So that was the main theory. That's the most popular one.
Okay.
And I would like that to be true.
And what... Sorry, what year was that?
That was in the 19th century.
Okay.
So, others believe that the name chimichurri came about in the early 1800s during the failed British invasion of Rio de la Plata, the estuary that separates Argentina from Uruguay, when captive British soldiers asked for the condiment by saying, "Give me the curry," which Argentines translated into chimichurri. I don't think that seems very vague. I like Jimmy McCurry better. And then there's another story that alleges that the sauce arrived in the late 19th and early 20th century with Basque migrants who, with millenary wood-fired grilled culture, brought along... It's pronounced chimichurri, but it's spelled T-X-I-M-I-T-X-U-R-I.
So did Elon Musk name that?
I don't know how I said that fast.
That was really... Did you practice that?
Nope. The Basque-style herb sauce that typically includes herbs, oil, vinegar, garlic, and a espalette pepper. I thought I was going to say epaulette pepper. I'm like, the shark has pepper? Epaulette shark? Epaulette shark, fascinating. My son was... He loves epaulette sharks.
What one is... Is that the one with the jaws that...
It's the one that can use its fins to, like, get back into the water if it gets stuck in a tide pool.
Yeah.
Again, tangent within tangents. Also, there is another one. Some say its roots before Christopher Columbus came to the Americas in 1492. According to that, an Argentinian historian and author said the word chimichurri comes from an indigenous population who have lived in the Andean region of the northern Argentina since well before the arrival of Europeans. It was a generic term used to describe strong sauces that to accompany and conserve different kinds of meat. So that one's like, it's where it's so old that it's vague. That right. Like it came from the mountains.
Yeah.
An indigenous group made it. And it's just, and it makes sense. I mean, it is all natural elements.
Right.
I mean, I think the most unnatural is the olive oil. But if you mash up everything else, I think it would be a good, almost like a paste for the meat.
Right.
But I like Jimmy McCurry.
Yeah.
Jimmy McCurry is my go-to origin story.
I don't know why I thought of this. The rugby team, was it the Uruguayan rugby team? The plane went down in the Andes. Was that in Argentina?
I don't know.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm surprised neither of us went that direction.
There was a lot of ways to go. We could have gone Reaper. I could have gone Cowboy. Could have gone into once I realized 7th anniversary sauce for Company Made 7, his 7 sauce that he made, I could have gone into 7. I thought about just going into that.
I was thinking about going into number 7.
But I didn't do any of that. So...
I think you picked correctly. I'm sure you would have found something fascinating about 7, but
it would have been fun to go into some numbers, but I'm sure we'll have other chances for that. All right. So let's get into the score on this. So again, we talked about elements that we would eat this with pretty much any Italian. I would put this in place of a pasta sauce put it on your Italian chicken, put it on, you can put it on a nice steak that goes with like a Alfredo pasta. Put it
on a burger. Like
put on a burger, put on garlic toast.
You know, like putting a tomato on a burger. Just put this on. That'd be good.
Put it on, whether it be Italian or not, put on a meatloaf. Meatball, meatloaf.
Meatball.
Put on any shape of meat that you want to put it on. And it's gonna work. So
about that rugby team.
Anyway. I put this as like a 2+ on heat.
Okay.
It's somewhere around the 3 and the 2 because I'm not really reacting. I feel like, and I keep eating spoonfuls of it.
Yeah.
And it does linger. It's a nice lingering heat. It really, there's the low heat that's like, this is for the people that just can't handle it at all. There's that high heat where it's like, you're going to have to prep for this. This is, for me, it's right in the middle of like, I'm getting that lingering heat. It's nice. It's burning. It's sustaining, mm-hmm. but it's not like, oh, this is going to kill me.
Yeah.
Now, I downed this whole bottle. Down the line, it might.
Yeah.
But
no, I would say 2+.
But yes, but I think this is a really good heat. It's a really nice level heat. For my score, I put this as an 84.
At 82.
Yeah. So out of a 100-point scale, anything above 75, we'd want year-round in our kitchen. This is a great, unique sauce because of its tomato base and its chimichurri elements. It will stand out as a sauce that you can use. And it's not like, I have a handful of sauces where it's like, they all offer a little bit different things, but they have a similar base. There's only really one other that has red wine vinegar in the element. I only have one or two that have like tomato based sauces, but they're drastically different.
Yeah.
So this is just a really good sauce. So above 75, we'd keep in our kitchen. Above 50, we recommend to buy across the board. 25 to 50 is not necessarily that you have to go seek it out, but it is a good sauce to try. And then 0 to 25 is not for us, maybe for you, but this isn't anywhere close to that.
No, quite the opposite.
Yeah. So I know I always hit that 25 and below as like really want to hit that hard, and we've not come close to it. But this is no, I mean the aroma is really nice. I don't know what Post Malone was thinking about saying it smelled like death. It smells delicious. The appearance,
it must not be a tomato guy.
It's a nice brownish red, nice like dark red sauce. It has a good like kind of speckling of the seasonings in there.
Did Post Malone say that because it smells hot or it just smells?
Maybe. That could be. Or
I don't know the context.
Maybe he had bad chicken.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the chicken that's the problem.
It's the vegan chicken wings.
I don't know if he would do vegan chicken wings. Interesting.
We might have talked about this. Did you see Weird Al?
Yeah, I think we did talk about
Mr.
that.
Mr. McNibbles. Holy cow. I didn't.
Well, that's why there was.
I want to see him go back on and actually take a bite of something.
There was one of them, because I was going back and watching every guest try this sauce. Just wanted to see the reaction and their take and everything. There is one that they took a huge bite, which this one is fine, but they were like, should I have done that? Because they see Reaper, they see a skeleton riding a horse, and they're just like, was this a mistake? So, also... I don't know if I should say this on the pod because I don't want to give away ideas, but I in no way am I qualified to start a restaurant. I had a restaurant idea.
What's that?
You get like beer flights.
Yep.
Get a board, bunch of beer flights. And sometimes they do different flights.
Chimichurri flight?
No. Just flights are the only thing that they serve. Soup flights. And it almost becomes where you have more people come. And you're like, hey, we're going to get a flight of wings. We're going to get a flight of quesos. We're going to get a flight of, breads or whatever, and then we just share it for the table, and it's called Flight School.
I thought you were going to say it's something called like Kiwis or something.
Or Flight Academy.
Like, that's funny.
Again,
I thought you were going to throw out like a flightless bird or
something. I'm in no way qualified to start a restaurant. I think it is very stressful, and I don't handle stress very well, as seen by when like the podcast is due, and I have to edit it still. But...
Oh, that's a good idea.
That was my... It popped in my head, and I'm like, I love flights. I don't get them as much as I... should, like, if I want to try, when I go to a new restaurant that I've never had before, if they had a flight of like mini sliders, that's what I want to do. I want to try as many things as I can.
How often do you go into a restaurant? You're like, man, all five of those sound good.
Yeah. Like, Railtown Brewing, we've been there, and I'm like, if I could get a flight with a bunch of different sandwiches, right. Like little, Hawaiian roll size sandwiches.
Didn't we talk about that? Didn't we talk about starting a podcast of just ideas? For like other people to
we
take
did.
Care of.
Yeah. I like doing it here
because
there's no pressure for me to throw an idea on this. If we have a podcast that's literally four ideas, there might be a week where it's like, you got anything? No, me neither. All right, have a good week, everybody. And then we're gone. So, no, this, I really like this sauce, as you can tell by the, I think this is one of the few sauces I've out-spoonfuled you in trying.
I think so.
Not many.
I had many too, which is saying something because you had a lot.
Yeah, it is a thicker sauce. So it is a thicker Santa sauce. Good King Wences sauce. It is a thicker sauce. So I didn't get, if this was a thinner sauce, I feel like this would be down much further.
Yeah.
But it is a little bit of a struggle to kind of get, just shake it up and then you're fine. Mm-hmm. And honestly, you get a nice, patch of sauce from like one glob out of the bottle and just spread it across that. I keep going back to garlic bread. Maybe it's because I'm not avoiding carbs, but I'm eating less thick cuts of bread. Like, I'll have a sandwich that's like...
Good old thick Texas toast sounds so good, right?
Yeah, Texas toast, some garlic butter, throw some parm down, throw
that sauce on there. I'd love to eat more of this, but it's 7 a.m.
No, it's 8 a.m. now.
When we did this podcast in the afternoon, we were knocking bottles out, like, at at once.
Well, we'll have to do some non-morning ones just because some sauce makers have been like, yeah, I want to be in your podcast. I think it was Roddy who was like, I'll be on your podcast. It's like, great. We record at like 6:30, 7 a.m. Hell no, I'm not going to. It's like, unless I've been up all night bottling and I'm about to go to bed.
Right.
Which is it's always great when someone's like lethargically tired and it's like, yeah, let's do this. I'm ready. Yeah. It'd have to be the real wake me up sauce. But yeah, so that's the episode on this one. A couple special thanks for this episode. Thank you to Sean at Sauce Leopard for including these sauces in the charity raffle for the hurricane relief. We just happen to be lucky enough to win it. It's worked out well where we're able to help the sauce makers back, just adding more promotion or more spotlight on these sauces. He's doing very well. He doesn't really need our help, but
yeah,
you know, hot ones is a big thing. And these hot one sauces that came from 2020, it's like amazing and it's also cool where Heatness is like not just looking for the biggest brands or the most following or whatever. They're also looking at a quality sauce where it's like, we just care about the flavor of it, and can you produce the bottles we need?
Yeah.
Those, I feel like, are the two big elements for hot ones.
Sean will have to reach out and let us know how this boost compares to the hot ones boost that he got.
Slightly under. I'm just going to say the over-under on that one is not.
I want to know how close it was.
Well, you know the highest and lowest point of Argentina? It's... Somewhere
in Antarctica is where we're
in that ballpark. Also, I want to say a thank you again to Summit 6 Design, who designed our logo. They designed our logo, and for any graphic or logo design needs, they can help you out as well. Their Instagram handle is Summit 6 Design. 6 is spelled out. Check out their stuff. There's some really cool designs they do for breweries. They did our logo. They do also, he does as a other element to that, he does a lot of drone artwork photography on a secondary page. So very cool to check them out. And again, just want to thank everybody for listening. However you listen, we appreciate you. Follow us on Instagram at the Heat Source Podcast for all updates. You can send us a message there or email us at theheatsourcepod@gmail.com for any feedback, requests, or comments. And other than that, just tune in next week as we are continuing this trend of trying new sauces for the new year. So see who our new maker is going to be next week. So, all right. Well, thanks, everybody. So you know how I thought you were going to cough.
Sorry.